A dramatic spike in injured bird calls prompts the American Bald Eagle Foundation to ask for the public's help. And the Mount Polly Mine in British Columbia gets approval to resume some operations. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. The American Bald Eagle Foundation in Haines has seen such a dramatic increase in bird rescues that they're asking for the public's help. The foundation plans to form a volunteer avian rescue team to help respond to the unusually high number of injured birds. The word that Eagle Foundation staff keep using to describe the spike in bird rescues is intense.
Yeah, it's been a wave of birds. Just very intense.
Pretty intense, I suppose.
That's Raptor curator Chloe Goodson and education and outreach coordinator Leah Minch. They say in the past, they've been called to one or two bird rescues throughout the entire year. So far this year, they've done 16 bird rescues. That includes eagles, ravens, hummingbirds, and more.
Recently, there's just been an explosion of birds, It's not uncommon for us to get at least one or two a week.
Here's Eagle Foundation Director Cheryl McRoberts.
I've been here 7 years, and this is the busiest we've ever been with injured birds.
The past week alone has been a record-breaking one, McRoberts says. They've rescued 3 eagles and 1 raven. Here's Goodson.
For the past few eagles, it's been a lot of trauma, probably hit by a car, probably ran into something.
Minch explains the most recent eagle rescue she went on. The foundation got a call from police about an injured bird near Mud Bay Road.
So we went down there, put a net over it, you get control of the head to get a towel over it. There's kind of a theory with raptors that what they can't see, they can't fear. So you want to cover up their visual senses. And then get them into a crate and take them back here to do triage, figure out kind of what could be wrong with them, and try to take as good notes as we possibly can so that the vets down in Sitka are kind of have an idea of what's going on with the bird.
There's no full-time veterinarian in Haines, so the foundation sends injured eagles to the Alaska Raptor Center in Sitka. The Raptor Center said on their Facebook page that June was their busiest month ever, with 20 injured bald eagles being sent in. So far in July, they've admitted 6 eagles. The Haines Eagle Foundation staff say they don't know what's causing the dramatic increase in injured birds. They say it could partly be that people are more aware that the Eagle Foundation does bird rescues.
Another thing to think about is that this is a really, really warm, dry year, so food availability may not, for the raptors, for eagles, may not be as good as it has been in previous years.
Local birdwatcher and counter Pam Randles thinks food scarcity could have something to do with it. She says this summer she's observed more desperate behavior in birds searching for food. She's seen birds fighting over food, eagles trying to steal fish from people, and other risky behavior. It's speculation, but Randles says that kind of risk-taking could lead to more injuries. Whatever the cause, the staff at the Eagle Foundation have decided they need more manpower to deal with the influx of avian injuries.
We do need help, and if you're interested in just going on rescues, that's great.
Goodson says volunteers on the avian rescue team will be trained in how to handle an injured bird and bring it to the foundation. Having a few more people on call to help will take some of the burden off the foundation's 3 trained raptor handlers. The foundation has set up a cell phone that they'll pass around to staff and volunteers. Whoever has the phone will be the on-call raptor rescuer. Here's McRoberts.
On the last eagle that we had, it was on a Sunday, and everybody was off. And I got the phone call, and I was in a panic. I was running around knocking on doors trying to find help. So if we had some volunteers, that would really be helpful.
If you're interested in volunteering with the Avian Rescue Team, you can call the foundation at 907-766-3094 or stop by in person. A British Columbia mine that's become a symbol of mineral extraction's environmental threats will reopen next month. Provincial officials today granted the Mount Polly mine conditional approval to resume limited operations. The Central British Columbia Project's tailings dam broke about 10 months ago, dumping up to 6.5 billion gallons of water and silt into nearby lakes and rivers. BC Mines Minister Bill Bennett says the new permit requires Mount Polly to put waste rock and water into a nearby pit.
The existing tailings storage facility, the one that breached last August, cannot be used, will not be used under the terms of this permit. It also means that there will be no water discharged off the mine site under the terms of this permit.
The mine will operate at half its earlier capacity to meet those standards. Even at reduced speed, Bennett says the old mining pit will fill up within a few months. Further permits will be needed to continue mining. Mount Polly is in the watershed of the Fraser River, which enters the ocean far from Alaska. But critics in Southeast say the government's decision threatens the region's salmon, which spawn in transboundary rivers. Guy Archibald works for the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council.
We can't count on the BC environmental process to even follow their own recommendations to protect us from the mines that are proposed on the Stikine, Unik, and Taku rivers.
The mine is owned by Vancouver-based Imperial Metals. Spokesman Steve Robertson did not immediately return a call for comment. The corporation has ignored similar calls during the past year. Mount Polly will have to gain additional government approval before releasing wastewater into the environment. Bennett says that would require additional expensive water treatment equipment.
They will get that permit only if the water they propose to discharge it meets Canadian drinking water guidelines and also meets the standards for aquatic organisms.
BC will require a third permit before the mine can again store tailings behind a dam. Bennett says if allowed, it would hold far less water than it did when it broke. An independent report on the Mount Polly disaster predicted two British Columbia tailings dams would fail every decade. Archibald says that could include Imperial's Red Chris mine, which opened this year near a Stikine River tributary.
Given that they're planning on putting 11 mines, you know, on the Alaska transboundary border, it's not if one of these dams is going to fail, it's only a matter of when.
British Columbia and Alaska officials met earlier this year on transboundary mining. BC's Bennett says they will meet again and could reach a memorandum of understanding regarding water and safety issues. Alaska officials have already submitted a list of concerns to BC, but they haven't actively opposed mine development. A troupe of entertainers is on their way to Haines to host a parade, arts workshops, and two-hour vaudeville-style show. The Seattle-based New Old Time Chautauqua is currently touring Southeast Alaska. According to the group, they aim to promote laughter, entertainment, learning, and community. Starting at 1 p.m. tomorrow, the 50-member troupe will lead a parade from Main Street to the Chilkat Center. Then from 2 to 5 p.m., members will hold workshops and lectures at the parade grounds, open to all ages. The workshops range from double Dutch jump rope and juggling to slacklining and even deep clowning. Workshop coordinator Kristen Crowley says there will be 7 to 9 workshops happening simultaneously during each session.
And then there's a silly workshop, but very important. It's called Know When to Fold Them, How to Fold a Fitted Sheet and a T-shirt in 2 seconds. And that's a highly popular workshop. Impress your mother, girlfriend, father, friend, whoever you want.
At 7 p.m., the New Old Time Chautauqua will perform a two-hour show at the Chilkat Center. While the parade and arts workshops are free, there is a charge for the all-ages show. The audience can expect acrobatics, music, and magic tricks. Troop Vice President Paul Magid said their Southeast tour has been a hit so far.
The show's sold out everywhere it's gone.
Troop members are also hoping to hold a potluck at Chilkoot Lake at noon on Saturday. Then they take off to their final stop in Sitka. You can go to chautauqua.com for more information. Tickets to the evening performance can be bought in advance at the local Haynes bookstore and at the door. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.